Verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. I'd like to say to the congregation, or ask the congregation today the question, what are you waiting for in your life? What is it you're waiting for to happen? Because I would say all of us, young and old, here this morning, we're waiting on something. It may be young people that are waiting to get back to school, and maybe you're back to school, you've been waiting for that. And then, of course, there are people waiting to get out of school, and they're waiting for that as well. And maybe there are people waiting about news of a job application. You've applied for a job, and you're waiting for the reply. Maybe you're waiting for an appointment at hospital. I read the other day the National Health Service are trying to get the waiting time down to 18 weeks. Well, there's a long way to go, but that's what they're trying to get it down. And maybe you're waiting. And you're waiting here to get an appointment and so on. Some's maybe waiting for an important letter or a parcel to arrive. Waiting to come to the age to be able to drive a motor car. Maybe there are some people waiting for Mr. Right and Mr. Wrong to get married. Maybe some people's married and they're waiting to have their first child. And we always seem to be waiting on something to happen in our life. And that's life. We're always waiting. We seem to be waiting on something and we don't like it. We don't like it. One particular man said, we have become a society of impatient people. We want it, and we want it now. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen to God. In the real world, in the real life, it doesn't just happen. Now, sometimes we can push buttons and make certain things to happen. But waiting for things, we have to wait. Well, here it is in the Bible. David's talking about the Christian life. How he starts out with tremendous words in Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? What tremendous words David here commences this psalm. Praising God. He says, The Lord, in the midst of this world of darkness, He's my light, He's my salvation, listen, He's my strength. He's starting out here, this particular psalm. He's praising God, but at the very end of the psalm, he's waiting. He's waiting on God. For he says the tremendous words here of our text, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As some people do, of course, words in morning and evening readings. This is the tax laid in my heart during the week. I got a great surprise when I looked for this morning's reading. It's actually this tax. Wait on the Lord. So I want to look about waiting on God. First of all, I want to think about the demand of waiting. Hear the words of David. Wait on the Lord. Here's a sovereign demand. This is God. God is speaking to David here, and David is speaking on to the people. And here is a demand and a command from the lips of God. He said to David, we are to wait. And he said to this mighty man of God, David, wait. They mightn't like it. But God commands us. The same God that says to his people, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and we are to do this. He tells us to wait. Here's a demand from God to all of his people. Not just some, but to all of his people. God's people are a waiting people. Read the Bible. You'll see great examples of that in the Word of the living God. Abraham, God promised he would give him a son. And for 25 years he waited on God to give him the promised seed, Isaac. Joseph, who had the promise of God about his brethren coming to bow down before him, he ended up in prison. This young Christian man, he ended up in prison. And some people reckon he was held in chains for 13 years. So he had to wait in a prison cell. And Moses, God called them to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And then he drove them out into the wilderness. And he had to wait out in the wilderness for 40 years. So when I read the Bible, I read of these mighty men of God. And women, of course. Hannah was waiting for a child. They had to wait. They had to wait on God. So it is no different for every child of God in this meeting. You say this morning, Noel, what does God want me to do? Wait on the Lord. It's a sovereign demand. It's God speaking to our hearts. There are times in our life, child of God, we have to wait. And it's a very simple demand as well, because we all know how it is to wait. We all know how to do it. We might not like it, but we know what it is to wait. We have to go to the traffic lights, those of us who's driving, and it's red lights, and maybe there's road works, and you're sitting maybe turning to the side of the road, but those men hurry up and turn those lights till we get going again. And we wait on traffic lights. You make a call these days to these centres and all you hear is, please hold the line, we know you're waiting. And 10 minutes later, it's, please hold the line, we know you're waiting. And 20 minutes later, it's the same message. And you're, well, we're not saying what we're about to do with the phone. But you know yourself, we wait. We know what it is. You see, we are to wait on God. We are to wait for his teaching in verse 11. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord. We want to learn valuable lessons. Well, we have to wait on God. We're travelers in this world in verse 11 as well. And lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And we need someone to teach us. We need God to teach us. We need the Lord to lead us. Well, we have to wait. And God has sent this to us. Here's a simple command to my heart. I want to rush on and rush that way and this way. But there are times God says to all of us, wait on me. And notice here, he says it again because he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait. I say on the Lord, a double emphasis here on what we are to do. In case we didn't hear the first time, he says, wait on the Lord. And if we're not really listening, because sometimes we're bad listeners, he comes again in the same text, in the same breath. Again I say unto thee, wait. We are to wait on the Lord. So I find here the demand for waiting. God tells us to wait. And it's a Christian duty sometimes to wait on the Lord. We sing that lovely hymn and our lovely song, I'm learning to lean, I'm learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. That is a tremendous song to sing. And so we are. We're learning to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. But dear friends, I'm learning to wait on Jesus. I'm learning to wait. Put the word wait on instead of lean. I'm learning to wait on Jesus. There are times in our life we have to wait on the Lord. I want to say that to you. Maybe you're waiting for something to happen in your life. Well, here's what God is saying to us. Wait on the Lord. The demand for waiting. But can I say secondly about the difficulties in waiting? It's not easy. I said, it is not easy to wait. It goes against our grain. We're living in a day and age. We seem to get everything at a touch of a button. That's what it is. If you need something, now you can go online and you can view the article and you hit a few buttons and the boy comes maybe the next day or the next day in the van, he ring your doorbell and he delivers it immediately. So we're living in a day and age when we can do these things. We want it, we order it, and we seem to get it. But dear friends, it is not easy to wait. I'm surprised there during the week when I was looking at this message about John Calvin, a great reformer and a mighty man of God. And he said this I have not so great a struggle with my vices, great and numerous as they are, as I have with my impatience. My efforts are not absolutely useless, yet I have never been able to conquer this, and I use the word, wild beast. And I was amazed. John Calvin, a mighty theologian, a great preacher of the Word of God, and he says here, he struggled, it's like a wild beast. Couldn't control it. He was learning that it is difficult to wait on the Lord. There's a number of things that makes it difficult. What about the difficulty of time? You can be waiting a long time on God. I said earlier, Moses waited 40 years. 40 years to come out of that wilderness and to bring the people out of Egypt. I said, well, there's a difficulty of time. You said, I've been waiting on the Lord. Well, say, for days. And then it has turned into weeks. And you're still waiting for something. And then it turns into months. And that is years. You see, and you're still waiting on the Lord. And it's difficult. The difficulty of it. We can get angry. We can get frustrated. We can panic, you see. It is not easy. It is not easy waiting on God. Sometimes you have to wait a long time. People here are praying for something, for someone for years. They're still praying. Not easy. You see, dear friends, the difficulty of time and the difficulty of trouble too, because you're waiting, and instead of things getting better, they're getting worse. And you're struggling over the events of your life, and you're hurting. It's not getting any easier. You see, I know that I'm struggling. I feel I'm going under. It's hard. It's difficult. Every day seems to get tougher. And that can happen. You can think in John chapter 11, when Mary and Martha sent the words to the Lord Jesus Christ, behold, he whom thou lovest, he's sick. But the Lord, he didn't rush. He stayed for about a couple of days. Well, you can imagine that home. Lazarus, he's getting worse. He's gone down the hill. And then he dies. And these two lovely ladies, Christian ladies, who love Christ, they're still waiting. Well, dear friends, Rabbi, that's you. He said, no, well, I'm waiting. And things are getting worse. Wait on the Lord. And you have the difficulty here of trouble. The difficulty of tiredness, because it is not easy. You can get weary. See there in verse 13, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed. You can get weary. It's not easy. You feel like giving up. One writer said there is a danger of losing heart while we wait. We can feel we have lost all courage. Our faith can be shaken to the point, listen, of quitting. And maybe there's a child of God in this meeting this morning and you feel like giving up. It's not easy. You see, dear friends, you're waiting on the Lord. Someone said the words, surviving the wait. Surviving the wait. It's difficult. It's tough. It's hard. The time, the troubles of it all ends. One writer said the only thing harder than waiting on God is wishing that you had waited. So just wait on. Oh, the difficulty of tears. The difficulty of tears. In Psalm 60 verse 3, David said, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. I want you to notice the words of this mighty man of God, David. He's weary of my crying. My throat is dry, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. It is not easy waiting on the Lord for certain things. It's difficult. It goes on. And I said, it goes against our grain. We want to rush on. We want answers now. We're looking for the Lord. We're waiting for the Lord to hear us. And I ask you the question, you find it difficult on waiting for the Lord. And it's not easy. I'm not suggesting it is. It is not for me. It's not for you. It has never been easy for any of God's people. What a difficulties. And yet we are to wait on the Lord. It may be difficult. We are to wait on Him. And then I want to say about the duties in waiting. What God's people are told to wait, of course, doesn't mean we are to be idle. Fold the arms and do nothing, no activity. No, we are to wait. There are certain things we are to do and to put into action. First of all, we're to be patient waiting. If we're ever going to wait on God, and we are waiting on Him for certain things, we must do it patiently. I think of that great psalm our sister was singing about here this morning, in Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. That's why the child of God is waiting on his God to come and to answer his petitions, his problem, whatever it may be. We are to wait patiently. Here's what we've got to do. Put our patience into display of child of God. We are to wait patiently. In Psalm 25 and verse 5, the psalmist said, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. He said these words, on thee do I wait all the day. I say Psalm 40 says, I wait it. It means to tarry or to wait on. Time and patience is needed to wait on God. So we ought to be patient. And that's one of the things I am to display during this waiting on God. And every child of God in the world and in the meeting, you have to wait patiently on God. Of course, another thing to do when we're waiting on God is to pray. Times of waiting and prayer go together. One particular writer said, waiting for an answer to prayer is often part of the answer. And so I'm waiting on God. I'm praying. David here in this particular psalm, he was waiting on God. But if you look at this psalm together, you will find David's not silent. And you will find that David's praying. He's seeking God. In verse 7, he says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. And David is praying. David, listen, he's crying to God that God would hear him. He's waiting on God. But he's praying. He's crying to God. In verse 8, he says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. My heart, not his lips, my friend, my heart. And I'm going to seek God. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray with all my heart. I'm waiting on my God. I'm waiting on my Savior. And dear friends, he's praying. Are you waiting on the Lord? Well, turn into times of prayer. Talk to him. Cry to him. If you're waiting in the middle of the night, and sometimes we wake in the middle of the night, well, pray. Talk to him. Tell him all about it, your troubles, your needs, your weight, what you're looking for in life. So we are to display these things while we're waiting on God. We are to seek his face. And we are to pray. And of course we are to trust him. We are to trust the Lord. In Psalm 130 verse 5, I wait on for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I trust. We trust him. We're waiting on the Lord. We're not fretting or fearing. No, we're trusting. In Micah 7 verse 7 he says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He's looking for his God. Listen, he's waiting for his God. No, he's trusting. He says, my God will hear me. He's
trusting for the Lord.
He's put his faith in the Lord and he's trusting him. One writer said, God is working while you're awaiting. You might say, well, I don't see it. But dear friends, he is working. You know, one of the places that he could be working is working in you and working in me. We want to learn lessons, of course. So we are to trust the Lord. I'm waiting on him, my Savior, my Lord. Someone has said true patience is waiting without worrying. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on my Savior. I brought my petitions to him. I trust him. I trust him with all my heart. So I'm not worrying. Oh, dear friends, we are trusting him. And so while you wait on God for certain events and certain things, I'm trusting him. I've told him all about it. I've cast my burden into the lap of the Lord. I trust my Savior. I've trusted him with my sins. I have trusted him with my soul. I'm trusting him with my needs at this particular time. And so you are to trust him. And I say to you this morning, trust the Lord. I trust him. I'm waiting on him. Another thing too as well, we are to do, of course, is to rest in him. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I notice that. Rest. It's not complaining about our circumstances. It's not grumbling into his ear. No, no. It's resting silently upon the Lord. I'm waiting on him. But listen, I'm resting, I'm leaning on his everlasting arms, I'm trusting him, I've laid my all upon Christ. I'm not complaining, I'm not grumbling. Well, sometimes we do, while we wait on God. Lamentation chapter 3 verse 26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of God. Those words, both hope and quietly wait. Don't be getting a panic. Don't be grumbling. Try to go through the roof at a moment. We get uptight. As we're waiting on God, and we're waiting and waiting on the Lord, we are to wait quietly. We are to rest in the Lord. There is a saying, and machine men would know what I'm saying about here. There's a saying that the wee that squeaks the loudest gets the most grace. And that's the way our duty is on the farm. The wee that squeaks the loudest, that gets more grace. That doesn't work with God. God's compassion is extended unto those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Instead of kicking and fussing and complaining. Like if you have a child and they're shouting and they're yapping and they're kicking at you, I want this and I want that, you can be sure they ain't going to get it. You're not going to give in. No, no. You're not giving it till they're quiet. God operates the same. Let's stop our complaining to God about things. We haven't much to complain about, have we? And dear friends, wait on him. Rest in the Lord with all your heart here. And of course, there's service to do for whatever it is. Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. David waited. David served. He used the opportunities God gave him to do, to serve. And so there are these things, duties we are to do in waiting upon the God. Rest and trust and look for him and serve him and stop the complaining. Wait on the Lord. And dear friends, trust him. That's for me. Listen, that's for myself. That's for every child of God. In the meeting this morning, we are to wait on our God. And can I say, fourthly, about the design in waiting. Why is it God makes us wait? Like the Lord could just answer to God there. He could give me all I wanted in a moment. In a moment. And child of God, he could do the same for you as well. But why is it God, he makes me wait? Not just for a day, or a week, or a month, or a year, but maybe for years. Why is it that it keeps you waiting? Well, dear friends, it helps us to grow. You think about physically. You had to wait to grow physically. When you were born, you didn't suddenly become a man or a woman. Is that right? You had to wait. A babe, a child, a teenager, 20s, and then on, we had to go. So we had to wait. Well, it's the same with the spiritual life. We had to develop. And we are to grow before the Lord. I think the things that develops, well, I'll just name two of them, of course, is our faith. It's our faith. God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to grow in our faith, you see. And to hold on to Him. And to believe His Word. And to believe His promises. That He will hear us. Because I think there in Abraham, over in the book of Romans, it tells us about Abraham in verse 20. Remember, God made him a great promise. You're going to have a son, the promised seed. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited on God for 25 years. But here's how it was summed up in the book of Romans in the New Testament. Speaking of Abraham at this particular time, it said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Listen, he believed God. He trusted him. And the years go past, one after the other. 5 years, 10 years. He's not giving up on God. He staggered not at this. When it came to 20 years, he's still holding on to his God. He's growing in faith. He's waiting on his God. And child of God, I said to every one of us here today, this develops our faith on waiting on God. We are to trust him and trust him. Despite the time. Remember Psalm 130 verse 6, he said, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. I'm waiting on him. It develops our faith. We're waiting on God. It develops our patience as well. If you get everything just a click of a button, you wouldn't have to learn patience. How's God going to teach you and I patience? We have to wait. We have to wait. That's part of it. Remember James says, James chapter 1 and verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience. The trying of your faith, troubles, trials, sorrows, prayers for people to be saved or so on, whatever the case may be. And you're still praying. Listen, and you're still waiting. Patience. We grow in patience. We wait on the Lord. How are we ever going to learn to be patient if we never have to wait, friends? Because this is all a purpose. God has a purpose behind the wait. He has a purpose behind it. Or we wouldn't be waiting. We would get it now. Many times we have prayed for things and we got the answers. But generally speaking, we have to wait. There's a reason for all this waiting. Of course, to make us more like Christ. How patient, how kind was Christ? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ and drive out the impatience from us. And so we come to this word this morning, the word from God to all of our hearts. Wait. Wait on the Lord. That develops our faith. Develops our patience. And waiting on God. Listen, it makes us more and more to Christ. Can I say last you about the delight in waiting? He says here, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He shall strengthen thine heart. The promise. The promise of God. He's strengthening us. Whatever it is. Whatever your need is. He will come. He will answer. And listen, you're waiting on the Lord. You're waiting with the Lord. You're talking to Him. You're having fellowship with Him. He's your friend. You're leaning upon Him. In a sense, you're holding on to His hand. He's with you. He's speaking to you. He's holding you. He's helping you. He's leading you. That's a delight in waiting on God. You're with Him. It drives you into His presence, as I have said, in the place of prayer. He shall strengthen thy heart. That's tremendous words. In Isaiah 25, verse 9, it says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. There, we're not going to be not going to despair here. God will come. We will be glad. We shall rejoice, listen, in His salvation. We've waited on Him. And dear friends, one day they looked and there He came. And they got their salvation. I said to every child of God this morning, help is on His way. Wait on the Lord. Someone said these words, God knows exactly what you need, and who you need, and how much you need, and when you need it. Trust Him. And all one has said, the Lord said, I have heard your prayer. Trust my timing. I've heard your prayer. God has heard it. You're praying. The devil says, he's not listening. The devil is a liar. God says, I have heard your prayer. Trust me. Trust my timing. Wait on the Lord. Well, let's do it joyfully. Let's do it patiently. And trust Him to come and to answer our petitions at His time. Oh, can I say to anyone who's unconverted, don't be waiting. Don't be waiting to get saved some other time. Or young people in the congregation say, I'll get saved some other time. Don't be waiting. Turn to Christ with all your heart today. Trust Him and He will save you. And He will give you everlasting life. Be washed in His blood by faith. He will save you. Oh, for all of God's people, I trust the Lord will bless His truth to your heart this morning and to my own heart. And wait on the Lord. For He shall, of course, strengthen thine heart. May God write His word upon all of our hearts.